Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, so blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. It is a great word. It's a great word, and I'm grateful to bring it to you. And the word that God gave me really almost felt like a continuation of a sermon I spoke on yesterday, but we're coming out of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and it says, do not be rash with your mouth. Let your words be few. And I thought, what an absolute word for today. We have so much of everybody talking that nobody's listening anymore. Everybody has something to say, and it just doesn't make any sense. And this is what our word says this morning in our prayer for this morning from our 365 days of prayer. It makes sense. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. 147 Psalm verse 3 NLT. Healing, you bind up the brokenhearted and heal our bleeding wounds. You don't turn away queasy at the sight of the bleeding and broken. You are quick to help. Lord of my affliction, would you touch my heart with the healing power of your love? I cannot heal myself. You know how I've tried. There is no one like you. Even the most skilled doctors don't have the answer to every ailment, but you have the solution for every sickness. Heal my body, God. I trust in your unfailing love to meet me in my weakness. You do what others can't. Who else can heal a broken heart? I've never known another to do it. I offer you every broken part of me, every physical, emotional, and spiritual piece of me that is not whole. And I invite you to do your healing work. I need you. I know I will rejoice in you in the end. And this is a question that I had to look in the mirror. Is there a heartbreak to invite the Lord into? And at one point, you know, during my grief of widowhood and just some other things in my life, grief of the loss of my godmother and godfather, just so much, had that moment where I was like, why me? Why do you keep taking the people I love? And then God had to answer me one day, why not you? Are you more important than any of my other creations? And I'm not. I am just one of many. And I can do nothing more than thank God for the time that I have. And that's what we need to do. Thank God for the time that we have. We need to get out of self and get into God. For he is good and his mercy endures forever and ever and all time. And we have to thank God. You know, Solomon was going through. He was going through because he had had so many things. Everything he could ever imagine or want, he had it. He was going through, and I'm pretty sure this book was probably written of his life after he had gone down the wrong path, after he had, you know, had all this wisdom, all this knowledge, all that anyone could ever imagine. But yet, Vandy of Vandy, he was melancholy. And he was going through, but he still had the wisdom to speak to us. Even today, you cannot turn on a television without someone wanting to be a quote-unquote influencer you know, well, I'm an influencer, or I'm a this and that. And you're like, excuse me, I had no idea what that term meant for the longest. And I'm like, somebody was, one of my children was saying that they were an influencer because they have their own YouTube page. I had no idea. I said, oh, okay, an influencer. You know, everybody wants to influence, but are we wanting to influence for the right reasons? Or are we just talking to make money and not care about anybody else? Influence God, with God. Influence with salvation. Influence with hope in the future. Influence with prayer. But the influence is the, how to do this hair twist and tie and how to do the latest dance that gets stolen from you and some other influencer who didn't create it gets more money than you do. And it just becomes one vicious cycle of trying to one up the next. Well, I'm the GOAT. I'm a this. I'm a that. Can we just be people of God? Loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. You know, over this weekend, after we had our show on Saturday, Cajun young man walked into a Dollar General store in our African-American community and killed three people, including himself. Because he didn't like black people. It's crazy. Because of their religion, because of the color of their skin, because they want to be an influencer and nobody's listening. We have got to stop foolishness. We wonder why our weather is what it is, because God is trying his very best to get our attention before he comes and takes us. Are you listening? California. Look what happened to Maui. Look what happened. A whole city burned to the ground. Have we stopped to tell God? Forgive me, Lord. Give me. We gotta all ask forgiveness for this mouth we call, because this tongue does not always stay behind our teeth. It gets nasty. We have children talking back to parents. You know, the ones that take care of them, and they, well, they didn't treat, they didn't say this. Excuse me, what would you become the boss of your parents? Again, influence from outside the home are causing these children to lose their minds. And we got to pray. Heavenly Father God, I come to you this morning with a heart open to receive your word, asking you to increase as I decrease, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, I humbly come to you, asking you to take control. Lord, give me what to speak, what to say, and when to be quiet. Father God, let your word permeate the air and permeate every listening heart, mind, and spirit, that they will know there is only one God, and it is you, one Savior, Jesus Christ, and one Holy Spirit. Father God, guide and lead us in the way that we should go, that we will not depart for it and not walk in darkness, but walk in your marvelous light. In Jesus' name, I lift up his word. I lift up each and every listener, those that listen live, those that listen later, Lord God. I ask you to give them Abraham blessings more than they could ever think or imagine, God. Lead them and guide them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Honoring God this morning, as we go through Ecclesiastes chapter 4 through chapter 6, verse 12. And again, Solomon is having a moment. And he said, then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors, there is power, but they have no comforter. Therefore, I praise the dead who were already dead more than the living who are still alive. Yet better that both who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again, I saw that for all toil and skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother. Yet there is no end to all his labors, nor his eyes satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of goods? This also is vanity and a great misfortune. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Before a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. But he comes out of prison to be king. And although he was born poor in his kingdom, he saw all the living who walk under the sun. They were with the second youth who stands in his place. There was no end of all the people over whom he was made king. Yet those who come afterwards will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Walk prudently, chapter 5. And we'll come back and do all of the Ecclesiastic life lessons and examples after we finish chapter 6, verse 12. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and this is the title for the word this morning. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. You know, we want to make vows to God. Well, Lord, if you give me this, then I won't do that. Lord, if you do this, then I won't do that. Lord, if you did, then Lord, that. We can't be that. We can't do that. I always think in the word, I believe it was Jairus was his name. And he was so, he prayed to God and he said to God, if you let us win this battle, then whatever comes out of my house, I will sacrifice to you. And what came out? Only child. His daughter. And he had to sacrifice his daughter. When he didn't have to do anything because the battle wasn't his, it was the Lord's. We have to be very careful what we utter out of our mouth, especially to God. We need to be quiet. Sometimes you need to just be still and listen and let there be few words. We don't always have to talk to give our opinion. And I'm learning that. I'm trying to get better myself. my opinion is that my opinion, and it needs sometimes to stay behind my teeth. If God says give it, give it. If God says be quiet, be quiet. This war dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by many words. And we're dealing with that every day with this political climate. There are those that just talk too much. Every time you turn around, they're typing this and that, and you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's like, please shut up. And then you find yourself like, I don't want to hear, I don't want to read, I don't want to know what you have to say, because it's just a whole bunch of words and a lot of foolishness. You know, you get tired. I know I do. And it says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Not the vow, then the vow, and not pay. Well, if you loan me this money, I promise you I'll pay it back. And I'll give it with interest. And then the person is waiting and waiting and waiting. And you never pay them back. You never pay for the service that they gave you. You never pay. And then you want to get mad when they say something about it. And then the lie comes. Well, I thought it was a gift. When they told you it was that I have to borrow from this to get that. And so I'll help you. But you got to give it back because I got to pay this bill myself. Now, they go without paying their bill after you paid your bill because you vowed to pay them and then you never pay them back. And that's not God. And you made a vow and then you lie about it. God sees all of that. It says, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. There it is. Now, say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Come on now. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. But fear God and the violent perversions of justice and righteousness in a province. Do not marvel at the manner. For a high official watches over a high official, and high officials are over them. Moreover, the prophet of the land is for all, even the king is served from the field. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sleep, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. There is a severe evil which I have seen under the board, their owner to his hurt. But those riches perish through misfortune. When he begets a son, there is nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And we have spoken on that many occasions. We come into this world without a stitch of clothing on. We don't come into this world dressed to the nines. We don't come into this world cleaner than the board of health. We come in this world a bloody mess, floating in the fluid. Where, and when we get out of it, we are a mess, calling it right, that has to be cleaned up and messy. It's how we come into this world. And understand, when we die, we may be buried in our finest. But believe me, when your spirit leaves that body, the body is just that, a body put into the ground that will go back to dirt and ashes. Bam. Casket and all. Disintegration. because you're not there. All it is a body. Your spirit has left the building. Naked it came in, and naked it leaves. And this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? All his days he also eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and anger. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor, in which he toils under the sun, all the days of his life which God gives him. For it is his heritage, as for every man, to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given his power to eat of it and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God, for he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. And the joy of my heart is the joy of the Lord. There is an evil which, chapter 6 of Ecclesiastes, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires, yet God does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity, and it is an evil affliction. If a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. For it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and its name is covered with darkness. Though it has not seen the sun or known anything more rest than that man, even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness, do not go to one place. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. But what more has the wise man than the fool? What does the poor man have who knows how to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Whatever one is, he has been named already, but it is known that he is man, and he cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. Since there are many things that increase vanity, how is man the better? For who knows what is good for man in life all the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? And we're talking, you know, Solomon went down that road. You know, when you have so much ever desire or need, this melancholy, all the riches, all the wisdom, all the everything in the world, and he is not happy because he walked and he did it all because I this and I that, and he had to realize in his older age that he didn't do anything. God did it. God did it. And he had to go back and he said, do not be rash with your mouth and let your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. He didn't ask for anything but wisdom. And he got it. And he got everything else. God gave it to him. But he forgot God. And all he's getting, he forgot God. I have wisdom. I have every I. And not where's God. All those women. And did he give them his God? Instead, he took theirs. Built idolatrous altars. And now he's melancholy. Now he's vanity, grasping for wind. Because he knows, when I leave this earth, what I have, all this knowledge, all this wisdom, all this stuff, what will it? What about it? I came into this world naked, and I will leave it the same way. All my labor, everything I've done, it'll go to somebody else. And it goes on to say, we know what happened. The kingdom got split in half because his son, with his privileged little self, didn't understand what goodness and mercy would do to help you along the way. Instead, he wanted to be harsh and harder than his father. And he lost half the kingdom. Ecclesiastes 4:6, better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. Paul tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain, 1 Timothy 6:6, and that those who walk closely with God can learn both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, Philippians 4:12. Would we spend less of our time in trivial and useless pursuits if we regularly call to mind this truth? Paul reminds us we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7. Ecclesiastes 4:10. Woe to him who is alone when he falls, but he has no one to help him up. God never calls on any of his children to go it alone in their walk with him. We need each other not only to receive help and encouragement, but to give it as well. God does not want us alone. He wants us to have family. He wants us to have love. He wants us to have the joy that comes from him. But we are never alone because God is always with us. The preacher rich doesn't mean expensive. The preacher is a great example of how the good life lacks the power to make anyone truly happy. He wrote that he built houses, planted vineyards, made gardens and orchards, possessed flocks and herds, and collected silver and gold and the treasures of kings. He did not refuse himself any desire, Ecclesiastes 2:4-11. And what was the result? The preacher declared, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity, Ecclesiastes 5:10. The richest moments in life are not the most expensive. Often they are the cheapest. The laughter of a child, a hug from a grandparent, a cup of coffee with a friend, a fishing trip with dad, and I love you from mom. Time you find yourself wishing you had more, ask God to show you how rich you really are in him. I trust God, and I had to do some apologizing. I had to ask for forgiveness. Because my mouth got the better of me. And it does on occasion, and I admit it. But I'm trying to work on it, because there's a whole lot of me I got to work on with the help of the Lord. But the first thing, we got to be forgiven. We got to ask forgiveness. Ecclesiastes 5:19, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, this is the gift of God. God allows certain amounts of wealth and possessions to come into our hands so that we might use them to bless others. Come on now. We are to be a funeral for God's blessings, not a container in which to hoard them. Wow. God knows how to where you live. You know, as I was talking to my pastor, I said, sometimes that shoe that fits, you got to say, ouch, because it's a little tight. When the shoe fits, it might fit a little tight. When God tells you something about yourself, and the only thing you can say is, ouch, that really did fit. Lord, forgive me. You know, God will tell you and show you in his word, sometimes yourself, sometimes others, sometimes you and others. So we got to take this word and take it as it is written. We can't make up what God said. God said it, and we got to listen. And it says, or I should say, God gives others the inspiration to write what he needs us to hear. And it goes on to tell us in our psalm for today, the 102nd Psalm, verses 18-28. this will be written for the generations to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Come on now. But he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven, the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, oh, my God, take me away from the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will be grow. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and the descendants will be established before you. And as we go back to the life lesson from Psalm 102, verse 18, it says, a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Most of us reading this are the people yet to be created. Spoken of in this verse, you are a fulfillment of prophecy. But to fulfill it completely, you must be in the habit of praising the Lord. Are you? Hallelujah. Do you say, God, thank you? Do you say, Lord, you're worthy of the honor, of the glory, of the praise? Hallelujah is the highest praise we can give God. We can't be so cute. We can't tell God thank you. We can't be so all that we can't say hallelujah and raise our hands. I don't want to go to a dead church. I want to be able to praise God in the fullness of my heart. I want to tell God thank you. My heart cries, hallelujah, to say thank you, Lord, because I know where I was. I know where I'm going. I want to make it in. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. We got to praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for another day, because somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody can't breathe right now. Somebody is on oxygen with the oxygen in the nose. Somebody is having to take a breathing treatment. Somebody has COPD. Somebody has emphysema and cannot talk. There are those that have ALS that cannot walk and know that their time is limited. We got to start telling God thank you, because we don't know what our future holds. All we know is that there is a God, and that he had a son, and his name was Yahshua, and that he died on Calvary's cross for my sins, for your sins, that he was beaten bloody, a bloody mess, and then was killed and stabbed in his side with nails in his hand and in his feet, and that he died for me, he died for you. But guess what? He was buried in the tomb, but when they went the third day and the stone was rolled away and the angel said, he is not here. He has risen. Can you say, thank you, Lord? He has risen and he has transitioned. He is with the Father in heaven, interceding for me, interceding for you. And all we can say is thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your son. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for your grace and your mercy. I get excited when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for me. My soul screams hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And as we go into Proverbs chapter 24, verses 5 through 6, a wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. We have safety in the Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. Thanking God this morning. For, again, going to our New Testament word. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is kind of going through a little bit. And he's questioning some things because, you know, Paul was not a disciple. Call it like it was. He was not a disciple. He did not walk with Jesus. He did not know Jesus up close and personal for those years that the disciples did. He was not called from a fishing boat. He was not called from the tax collector's office. Called on a road from the risen Savior. And so he has always been made to feel like he was less than, just slightly less than. And this is what he's saying, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work? Not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. But you are the seal of my apostleship, the Lord. I established you as a church. Who are you to tell me who I am? That's like the pastor that established your church, and yet you want to vote them out and put somebody else in. You want to tell them that their work was in vain because now you don't need them no more because you're outgrown then. Come on now. We see it all the time. Pastors that establish and build churches, and in many cases own the church, are treated like they're less than. Paul is saying, I am an apostle. He said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? He says, my defense of those who examine me is this, do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, or do also the other apostles? The other apostles. The brothers of the Lord and Cephas. Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock. Do I say these things as a mere man? Are does all say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. It is oxen God is concerned about, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who thrashes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it not a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? In other words, they didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to do anything to help him. Paul did most of his ministry at his own expense. He created stuff at his own expense. You know, he was a tent maker. So he provided for himself, making tents. Wherever he went, Paul did for himself and those that were with him. And he's asking, now you're giving all these other folks, you're paying them salaries. You're doing what, you're taking care of them and their wives. They have wives. Why can't I have my wife? So in one word, he kind of contradicts himself. He's saying it be like me and don't have a wife. But here, he's wanting one. He's like, the apostles have wives. A believing wife, as do also the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Jesus. And he goes on to say, nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things lest we hinder gospel of Christ, the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister to the holy things eat of the things of the temple? And those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. But necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. But if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will I have been entrusted with the stewardship, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. But though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became a weak. I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjugation, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Boy, I had a lot to say. In 1 Corinthians 9:22, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul never compared his convictions to his calling, but he was more than willing to find common ground and meet his audience wherever they happened to be. More than anything, he wanted to lead people to a life in Christ. Hallelujah. We thank God for Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:24, run in such a way that you may obtain it. We will not, Dr. Stanley tells us, we will not accomplish much in life if we do not have a clear purpose and mission in mind. The only way to consistently get a target is to take careful aim. What is your own life mission? It is a great privilege to serve the Lord, but it is also a solemn duty. The amazing thing is that God promised to reward us richly for doing nothing but what we ought to do. What a word. That is all I have for my word this morning. I have a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word, again, is right on point and right on time. And Sister Carolyn says, good morning. Whatever you're going through, God knows, and he is with you. He won't let you go through more than what you can bear. No matter what it looks like, have faith. He's able. Say it again. He's able for the Holy Ghost. He have a marvelous Monday family. And again, as God told me, you know, and as the word of God tells us, do not be rash with your mouth. Let your words speak to you. And above all else, keep trusting in God. He will never give us more than what we can handle. He will never give us more than we could ever think or feel. God will give us what we need when we need it. All we have to do is continually trust in him. And as we finish up the word today, anyone that has a word that God has given you from the lesson or just in general, God has a word for the audience. We have about almost a little less than 15 minutes of time if we want to fill it. If not, we're going to wrap up. But God has put in my spirit to reach out if there is anyone who has a word. Please push the number 1 on your phone, for it is for a purpose, or call 213-943-3597. Again, 213-943-3597, and we do have a caller.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Call us 7959.
Good morning.
Evangelist Shannon, how are you this morning?
I'm just truly blessed and highly favored by God. The word that I heard the Holy Spirit say is, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge thee, and these shall direct thy path. No matter what it may look like, as hallelujah, Sister Carolyn said, God is still working. He's always working. He doesn't sleep nor slumber. He always is working. God bless.
God bless, and thank you so much, Evangelist. We appreciate those words of wisdom from the Lord, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening in this morning. And as always, we ask everyone, please keep each other in prayer. You know, continue praying for Evangelist Teresa, you know, who also comes on occasion when God gets Georgia speak. You know, please pray for her. She has had another surgery on Friday. Praise the Lord. She is doing well. I spoke with her on yesterday. And I just want you all to know she appreciates your prayers. Continue lifting her up. And again, we are looking forward. We have another week, and Mother Valerie should be back. I believe she'll be back sometime in the month of September to read with us and to just be here again. So I'm excited about Mother Valerie coming back in the month of September. She has been on vacation and sabbatical. Thanking all of you again for your support. Thank you for listening in. But it's not about me. It's for the Lord. We give God all of us, and let's just watch him work in our lives. I want to say thank you just to all of you for tuning in on Saturday, those that were able to, because I had to travel on yesterday. I made it home safely. Thank you for your prayers. And the sermon that I had to preach yesterday went very well, and what was the word of God was a continuation. We have to be careful to not let our mouths overrule what God is wanting to do in our lives. Do not be rash with your mouth. Let your words be few. That's the word for all of us. You know, sometimes we want to somebody a piece of our mind, and I'll tell you now, don't do it. Don't give anybody any of your mind. You're going to need it all one day. Hallelujah. And don't give them your nerves either, because they get them on your last nerve. Don't let them get on your last nerve, because you're going to need all your nerves too. So anyway, I'm just thanking God for all of you. Thank you, Evangelist. Thank you, Mother. Thank you all for just being with us. And as we get ready to pray out, we have no other callers calling in to speak. So we are going to wrap it up with our prayer. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent. One from each other, just a moment. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Evangelist, yes, ma'am.
I just want to ask you to include Pastor Melissa Alexander in that prayer also. She has some situations going on where she has a wound that is not healing correctly, and she's had several surgeries. So if you could include her in the prayer, I heard the Holy Spirit say prayer for Pastor Alexander.
Amen. And Evangelist, we're going to let you pray us out as you pray over Evangelist Alexander, minister, actually Pastor Alexander, as well as Evangelist Teresa, and just over whomever God gives you to pray for, over all of those that are listening in. We lift you up. We ask God's blessings over each and every one of you. As Evangelist Shannon, we call her Evangelist Shannon, but Evangelist Sandra, as she prays us out this morning, God put Evangelist and Pastor Melissa into our spirit, and we're lifting her up. So please add Pastor Alexander to your prayer list. And I will say this to all of you. If you are a diabetic, take your illness seriously. I lost a husband because of it. I tell you, There are those that have lost limbs because of it, multiple limbs because of it. Those have lost eyesight because of it. It is not, as some say, a little sugar. Don't believe the hype. It is serious, and we must take it that way. Pray to God for a cure. Pray to God that it will leave our family and our bodies if we are diagnosed with it or we are borderline with it. We've got to eat right. We've got to exercise. We've got to do right because it is nothing to play with. So my public service announcement today is care of yourself. This body is what God gave us, and he wants us to treat it as what it is, a temple for the Holy Spirit. Keep God first in all you do, and watch him work in your life. And as Sister Carolyn tells me, he won't give us more than we can handle. He won't give us more than we can bear. He's always with us in everything. Evangelist Shannon, I turn it over to you. For me, it's a wrap. Please stay. But we are willing, ready, available, presently praying for you. That is what a wrap is. And Minister Shannon is about to wrap us up as she prays us out this morning. God had a reason, evangelist, to pray today. So pray us
Hallelujah.
Out as we wrap Hallelujah. Up. Thank you so much.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I'm coming unto you, Father God, thanking you for your healing, Father God. For the Son, hallelujah, hung on the cross, that we would be healed, that we would have life, life more abundantly. Oh, Father God, as I plead the blood of Jesus over Evangelist Teresa's, hallelujah, body from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, oh God. I bind every, hallelujah, bacteria cell, oh God, that may be in her bloodstream, oh God. I bind everything that's causing the situation of infection in her body, oh God. Oh, mighty God, we bind everything, hallelujah, that tries to attack your children's bodies, limbs, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we thank you for healing for, hallelujah, Pastor Melissa Alexander's toes and her legs. Oh, God, you know where the wound is, Father God, that is trying to, hallelujah, have control as an open wound, oh God. But we bind that open wound in the name of Jesus, knowing that God is able to heal it, to remove and destroy everything that's trying to cause it not to heal, oh God. Because your word said, by God's stripes we are healed. And we're standing on your word, oh God, because your word is truth. Your word is life. Your word is all that we need, oh God, because your word is power. So we thank you, Lord, for healing everyone, oh God, that has been diagnosed with diabetes, even those that have lost limbs that was not diagnosed with diabetes, oh God, may have lost a limb because they may have fallen or a different situation, oh God. Oh, we even ask you to heal the VAs, oh God, that has lost limbs for the country, oh God, that are in need of shelter, oh God, that are in need of medical care, oh God. Oh, mighty God, we know that we can ask anything in Jesus' name, and the Father would do it. So, Father God, I'm asking you to touch every ear on this, hallelujah, blog, radio on today, oh God. Touch their family members. Touch their seed, their children, oh God. Touch those that are in connected with them, oh God, ancestors, aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews, oh God. We bind any generational curses, oh God, from the bloodstream, from the bloodline, all the way back to Adam and Eve, and we cast it to the pits of hell in Jesus' name. We decree and declare and take declaration and stand on your word that by God's stripes they are healed in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for traveling grace. Hallelujah, as Pastor moves forward today, hallelujah, to go to her assignment, oh God. And we thank you for each and every assignment, oh God, that you have called us. As thy will be done, not our will, but thy will be done in Jesus' mighty name. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you all are strength, and we're all redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen for the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much, evangelist. We appreciate you, and I will say this. This is a prayer warrior. This is what, when we talk about, you've heard the term, well, he's a prayer warrior, she's a prayer warrior. This is a prayer warrior. This woman can get a prayer through. I can tell you that. And I thank God for her this morning. God sent her for a reason and a purpose. Because God needed her to speak. Thank you so much, Evangelist. We appreciate you. We lift you up as well. And ask our Father God, Lord, cover her from the crown of her head. Cover her also. Cover her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and all her seed seeds, God. We ask you to give her strength in this journey, God, that you have called her to evangelize, to feed the hungry, to feed the homeless, God. You have given her a ministry, God, for a pathway to healing of the broken souls and the broken minds and bodies, God, to heal and to feed. And, Father God, we can see you lifting her up and her ministry as well.
For your glory.
In the name of Jesus, God, give her all that she needs as she pours out, God. We ask you to pour
in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray, believing and trusting in you, Lord, that all things work for good for those that trust and believe in you. And we trust and believe in you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the day that you have made again. We are rejoicing and grateful for it. And Lord, we ask you to cover each listener that listens live and listens later. And Lord God, we thank you already. We are thanking you for the healing of Pastor Melissa as well as Evangelist Teresa. And for those that are sick and shut in, we lift them up, Lord God.
Thank you. Thank you, Father God.
In Jesus' name as well. Amen, amen, amen. Remember, family, wrap is not. We just wrapping it up. Wrap is a reason because we are willing. We are ready. We are available. Pray for each and every one of you. Have a blessed day, family. Thank you, Evangelist. Thank you all that listened in. It is a beautiful day, and we just thank God for it. Have a great day, family. If it's too hot, stay cool. If it's too cool, get a little warm. Have a great day. Love you all. Join us tomorrow as we move forward in the Word of God. It's a wrap, Evangelist.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Hallelujah. Glory to
the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.